This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We are going to get right to it with our special project about gentrification and the hows and whys of it. Our wealth and poverty team basically moved into a neighborhood not far from downtown L.A. this summer. It's called Highland Park, about 8 or 10 miles from downtown. And they opened up a news bureau and started poking around, trying to figure out how maybe the most important part of our economic lives, what happens where we live, changes when the economy of our neighborhoods change. Gentrification is the word. A lot of people who move into gentrifying areas like Highland Park don't really think of themselves as gentrifiers because, first of all, what does that mean anyway? But also, they often do know that they have become part of the change around them, and that can be uncomfortable. Marketplace's Noel King takes it from there.
This is new here. We're walking by a place called Eclectomania.
What do you think that's meant to be?
Oh, this is an art gallery.
Lynn Mayer is walking over to meet the new owner of her old house on Meridian Street. Lynn moved to Highland Park in 1991. It was mostly Latino, working class, and on Meridian, quiet.
When I first moved into the house, the people across the street who don't live there anymore, they had chickens. The street used to be so dead that the chickens would sit in the middle of the road and just, you know, take a nap.
Lynn is an artist. She works part-time. As much as she loved the house, it was a burden. Between repairs and upkeep, she was going broke. So a year ago, she sold it to an investor who rehabbed it.
Oh my gosh, look at the house.
When was the last time you saw it?
Yesterday, because I went by.
She rents less than half a mile away. The house is perched on a hillside on a corner lot. It's a white stucco box with a picture window in front and steps leading up to an arch doorway where the new owner, Paul Downer, is waiting for us.
Welcome. Okay, I know the greeting committee. Let's take one second.
Lynn, this is Paul.
Hi,
Paul, this is
very nice to meet you.
It's good to meet you, too.
I asked Paul and Lynn if they'd be willing to meet to talk about gentrification in Highland Park. They can both see it happening, and in separate interviews, they'd each talked about that, like when she decided to sell the house.
When I called the real estate agent, he told me it's the hottest real estate market in the country. And I said to him, in the country? Are you sure? And he said, yes.
Hot enough for the investor, who says he paid around $430,000 for it, to spend even more fixing the house up. That's a house Lynn bought for around $180,000. Still, she says it's not like she won some kind of lottery.
Do I feel the money that I got, I'm set for life? No, not when they say that in order to retire comfortably, you need at least $1 million. I feel right now I can not have the 1,000-pound gorilla that was on my back a little over a year ago. But now I just have chimpanzees on my back now.
Lynn is ambivalent about the neighborhood's upscale transformation. She's always liked the slightly gritty feel, the mom-and-pop shops, and that there are so many artists here. Highland Park's been attracting them for a century. The question is, did she help contribute to the change? After all, one of the first signs of gentrification is often artists buying houses before the neighborhood gets hot.
We're the pioneers. We're the pioneers, definitely. We're the ones willing to slum it, so to speak, just for to get space, you know. We make it trendy. Like, come on down and see the hipsters make their artwork.
So she doesn't consider herself a gentrifier. Neither, though, does Paul Downer, the man who bought her old house just 3 months ago. He's actually kind of uncomfortable with the restaurant scene on York Boulevard.
A lot of the cafes, I feel like unworthy of walking in because the waiters seem much more hipper and interesting than I am. And I'm like intimidated. And I some of the things on the menu I've never heard of before. And I'm from San Francisco. I'm not from, you know, someplace, you know, that basic.
Paul is also artistic. He's a pattern drafter. He saw gentrification up close in San Francisco and didn't like it. But rising prices in the Bay Area benefited him. He sold his apartment and was able to pay cash for the Meridian House, $710,000. Even with the artistic touches he loves, the colored glass windows, the countertops he thinks are marble, for 1,100 square feet, that's a lot of money.
To be honest with you, I didn't get the best price possible. You know, homes that are much bigger than this in this neighborhood sell for a lot less than what I paid, but I think I did okay in the long run.
When I saw it listed on Curbed LA, yeah. I sent you the link. I said, my God, look at this. Our little $95,000 box is going for over $700,000.
Peter Alexander and Scott Craig bought the house on Meridian in 88. They were a young, artistic couple, and Highland Park was the only neighborhood they could afford. And they loved it. The cheap tamale places, waking up to the neighbor's mariachi music. But their friends were all in L.A.'s most famous gentrified neighborhood, Silver Lake. So the house?
We fix it up, and we knew we could sell it and how much that would give us for a down payment for a house in Silver Lake.
They own a Silver Lake nightclub called Akbar.
It's the meet and greet place for a lot of people.
Yeah, we helped gentrify Silver Lake.
Well, at least that corner.
So gentrification doesn't really make them uncomfortable, but they get it.
It's like calling someone a hipster. No one self-identifies as a hipster.
Well, when you told me that last week, I wanted to look up the word.
Gentrification.
Yeah, and just see what the original, you know, definition is.
Peter and Scott don't think they were early gentrifiers of Highland Park. It wasn't, Scott says, like there were groovy children's clothing stores replacing Mexican supermarkets after they moved in. They're business owners, so it makes sense that they'd see it in those terms. Gentrification is often in the eye of the beholder. Sociologists, economists, urban planners all use different definitions. A blunt one is the class transformation of urban space, or money coming into a neighborhood. Back at the house on Meridian, Paul is taking Lynn on a tour, and they're discovering they have a lot in common.
Show us the deck up. The whole time I lived here, I kept thinking, this house is crying for solar panels, because it just gets sun.
I actually have an appointment tomorrow to talk to someone about solar
panels. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Definitely.
They don't agree on everything. Like, while we're up there on the deck, you can see that the neighbor's lemonwood tree is dropping a lot of leaves onto Paul's yard. Lynn has some advice for him.
Without me barking at them last year,
I just don't think it's going to go well if I try to do that, so I think I'll just take responsibility for keeping it sheared.
You see all the leaves.
Every day I sweep.
Yeah.
It's just that's this the way it is.
But they're both enjoying the visit.
You want some tea or some coffee? I have chips and salsa. I also have a little sweet
tea.
Okay, good.
Paul and Lynn have their own definitions of gentrification, too. Definitions that have allowed them to say, I am not a gentrifier. So when they sit down for tea, I offer them that academic definition, the class transformation of urban space, and ask, even if neither of them wants to be a gentrifier, is it possible that she was and he is?
Because I'm white, there's that element, right? It's not merely like a class issue. Technically, I would be considered that. That's not how I see myself. I see myself as just trying to be part of a community, but I am an outsider, and that's a reality.
Truly. I mean, not that anybody made me feel uncomfortable, but I stuck out like a sore thumb, and I guess I was an interloper too.
And that's a cycle in any neighborhood. She was an interloper, now she's an insider. Paul is still new. He's not sure his neighbors have warmed to him yet. Sometimes his hellos aren't returned. But Lynn has introduced him to her friends. They have dinner, they go to gallery openings. And from his front porch, Paul can see even newer people, potential buyers traipsing into the house across the street, which has been flipped and is on the market for $680,000, trying to decide whether to make Highland Park their home. In Highland Park, Los Angeles, I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
York and Fig, should you be wondering, is short for the intersection at which our bureau sits, York Boulevard and Figueroa Street in Highland Park. Our whole series is online, video, audio, and old-fashioned regular still pictures as well. YorkandFig.com.